One of my favorite salutations has become, may grace and peace be multiplied to you, to all of you, to you and to your families in this new 2019. Several months ago, God began to draw me to a book in the Bible that I was familiar with somewhat, but I've been in this book for the last 3 months, and it would serve as a foundation, if you will, for this message that God has given me to bring to us on this first Sunday of 2019. If you have your Bibles, if you would, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. And as you're finding that, I will comment that Ephesians is a book, a letter, that was written by Paul to a local church. This book not only is rich theologically, but it is also a book that describes and gives hope to and gives direction for the local church like none other in the Bible. Weeks to come, we will be digging into this book, but today, I simply want to take an excerpt from it to begin this message that is going to be more of a vision casting for where we are going in 2019. For we are in uncharted territory in several different ways. I don't think any of you have been in 2019 before. I haven't. As a church, not only have we not been in 2019, but we are going into an area that we've never been before. I have never been in this area that we're going in now. But I don't fear. I don't doubt. I have hope. And that's what we want to share with us this morning. If you found Ephesians chapter 4, pick me up at verse number 11 as we read these scriptures. As a matter of fact, I know you might have different translations, but let's see, can't we read this all together? I know that we can. Please, would you join me? So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith, in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind, teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Father, we thank you for the reading of this word. We thank you for your word, Lord. And Father, we pray now that as we continue, your word will be live and active and cutting and discerning amongst all of us in this place. Father, give me focus. Give me clarity in my speech, boldness in my preaching. In Jesus' name, amen. 3 months ago, as I began to read Ephesians, I first started right here. Right in, you know, I know that's probably bad theology to go up in the middle of the book, but that's just what I do, okay? And I started right here. And I thought, okay, well, I'm just going to study this right here. This only, no, so you need to read the whole book. And I've been reading it over and over again. I want to challenge you that for the series that we're about to go into that will last for the next, it'll be 5 weeks, for another 4 weeks, read the book of Ephesians. Start reading the book of Ephesians so what we talk about on Sundays you can connect with. But as the more I read it and the more I stayed with it, especially these verses that I've just read, verse 14, 15, and 16, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. And God began to speak to me and said, you know, you think you all have got it all together, but you know, you're still kind of young. You're only 21 years old. Talk about our church right here. And for me, myself, now I'm older than that, but I still got a lot of growing to do. And I believe some of you all probably have some growing to do as well. Can I get amen to that, anybody? And so here it is that Paul is speaking to this local church and saying to them that you will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there. But instead, oh, I like that word, instead. We're not going to be that. Instead, we're going to be speaking the truth in love. We will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. Isn't that what we desire to be as a church? Isn't that what we desire to be as individuals? The more I looked at it, the more I stayed with it, God began to give me a word for us in 2019. And I had a little problem with the word at one point, but it became clearer. And it's still becoming clear. And I want to set this today, because in this coming year, our theme for this year, and I don't know if it's going to last the entire year, but I know it is for right now. Our theme for this year is simply this: becoming a people who. Becoming a people who. Fill in the blank. Becoming a people who. Becoming a people who are mature. Becoming a people who are spiritually disciplined. Becoming a people who are more loving. Becoming a people who are generous. Y'all get the picture? Becoming a people who are kind and hospitable. So that's coming in the future. I'm trying to resist the urge to go too far too fast. Y'all help me, please. But that just speaks to me. For the rest of this message, you're going to need two things. You're going to need a communications card, and you're going to need something to write on and something to write with. If you don't have something to write on and write with, there's something available to you right on the seat back to your front. I need to see some hands moving, some people moving. I need you to get them and get them in your hands. Communications card, and if you're sitting on the front row, God bless you. Just look around there. Just tell somebody in the back to hand you one if you don't have one. But let's do that real quickly, because this is going to be a participatory type of service here, and I need your help. Yesterday, we did this at Leadership Community, so there's going to be some people here that think they've got it all together, but don't worry. We're going to find out some of them didn't get it yesterday, and they need to get it again today. You see, what I read in Ephesians is actually a description of what God intended for the church to be. As he added apostles, evangelists, teachers, preachers, this is, and for the works of the ministry, so for the equipment of the saints, for the work of the ministry. And he describing the church. And, you know, that's a lot. That was some verses, a lot of words. You know, I have difficulty remembering scripture, I admit to you. I'm not good at that. You know, Nick Cash, I admire that young man. Man, that guy just blurred him out. I'm going to get like him. I'm going to grow up to be like you one day. See? Becoming a people who remember scripture. All right, let me stop. All right? So God works with me with little shorter phrases that I can remember. As a matter of fact, every local church should have a shorter phrase to encapsulate who God has called that church to be. And he has given us one as well. So here we go to participate. Look at the screen here next. It says, Christ Community Church exists to. Now, this is what I want you to do. I'm going to give you about a minute. We gave Leadership Community a minute and 30 seconds. You all are sharper than they are, so y'all don't need but a minute. I want you to fill in. What is the mission statement of this church? Now, I'll give you a hint. The blanks you see, a word goes in every blank that you see. I even gave you a little help, because I put a two in strategic place, an N over there, and I even put a hyphen so that you might guess that word, what goes in there. But the minute is running now. The minute is ticking. Now, yesterday, we had people jump up and share what they had. I don't know if we're going to do that here. And now, I want to be careful, Because I know some of you, this is not your church. And if you're listening to me on the radio, or if you're listening to me on the podcast, on the internet, listen, this pertains to you too, because I pray that you have a local church that you are connected to. And while we are doing it here at Christ Community Church, this exercise is for you, because you need to be doing it at the church that you are connected to. What is your mission statement? What drives you? What gives you passion? Anybody ready? Show of hands, people got it already. Show of hands if you got it already. Show of hands if you got it already. Okay, I'll give you about 30 more seconds. And if you're not trying now, y'all are not participating very well. Come on now, just try. Christ Community Church. In other words, why in the world do we exist? Why did God bring us together? Why did God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, just pull people together and assemble them? And here we are in 2019, and look around the room. Why is this? Not just for us to sit in here on Sundays and just go home. No, there's a reason why we're together. Are we ready? Okay, I'm not going to embarrass anybody. It wouldn't be embarrassing at all. Yesterday was really cool. Because some people had just a couple words out of sequence, but you know, this is something we need to be exact on. Here it is. Christ Community Church exists to awaken ordinary people to extraordinary life in Christ-centered community. That is our mission. Why is that important? You remember I talked about uncharted waters a few minutes ago? See, uncharted waters are uncharted waters. Uncharted territory, I should say. You know, we're always going into places that we've never been. And so how do we navigate through that? I'm reading a book called Canoeing Across the Mountains. I don't want to get sidetracked. But in that book is a book about Christian leadership. And they use the story of Lewis and Clark expedition, how they started out looking for a passageway to the Pacific Ocean, and they found the Rocky Mountains. And when they got to the Rocky Mountains, the canoes on their back were no good anymore. So they were in uncharted territory. And in that book, the author gave some things that has just been so helpful to me as we navigate these uncharted waters, the uncharted territory we're in. Four things, simple. The reason why this is important, because if you're going to successfully go through uncharted territory, you need to start with conviction. What drives you? What's your mission? What's your passion? What is it that you're about? See, if you know that, if you have a laser focus on that, even though things are unknown, even though things are a little choppy, you can make it through there because you are focused. You have a start. You have a conviction. And that sometimes is our problem. We don't really have a conviction about what we do, why we do what we do. But I'm just trying to sow this out here, that we do have a reason for assembling. That's that mission statement. So therefore, as we move forward in 2019, we start with conviction. And after that, stay calm. Stay calm. Stay connected. Stay the course. Now, you might want to jot that down. Because you know what? It works here at the church. It works in your family. It works in your business. It works in your school. It works in your marriage, in your family. As we get into situations that is unfamiliar to us. I didn't see this coming. I didn't know this was going to happen. Why in the world is this happening to me? How are you going to make it through? You can fall apart, or you can start with conviction. Stay calm. Stay connected. Stay the course. Amen? All right. So I say all that to get to this point. This morning, I've got three things that I am certain, just as certain as I can be, that God has impressed upon us that he wants us to focus in on in this coming year. Three things. Now, you need that something to write on and something to write with, and you need your communications card, because as we go through this, Holy Spirit is going to speak some things to you, and you need to write them down. There's some other things that he's going to say you need to do, and you need to put it on a communications card and turn it in at the end of the service so we can follow up with you. Fair enough? Three things. The first thing that I have been convicted of personally, and I believe that God is also wanting us to press into as a church, is that he wants us to pay attention to the need for travailing prayer and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. travailing prayer and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Travailing prayer. That's the kind of prayer that is persistent. It's focused. You know, coming into this year, you might be guilty like I have. I had a temptation to just start doing my own thing. I've got it all together. I'm just going to start. And I don't know, some of us, I was talking to somebody, you know, part of the worship team. You know, we got here early this morning. And they were saying to me, you know, it's like, man, we've hit the ground running, and I just wish we would space this stuff out more in the future, because it's like, and you know, and if we're not careful, because we think we got it all together, we got a plan, we can come into this year and just go off of our plan and our plan alone. But we've tried to incorporate some things that would help us. And the first thing that we're talking about, travailing prayer, is our prayer week that begins tonight. I want to talk about that briefly. Now, you should have gotten a little piece of a little sheet when you came in. If you did not, you know, they'll be out in the lobby at the Welcome Center when you go out. So this is for those of you that cannot make it to prayer week. I wanted to put this in your hand so that you can follow along with us as we gather tonight, tomorrow, Tuesday, and Wednesday night, 6:30 to 8 o'clock. Because it's something about us corporately coming together and doing this. I want to talk about this travailing prayer. Travailing prayer. Reason why we do prayer week is because we want to get our focus in on, we want to know what God's agenda is for us, not what my agenda is for God. And so tonight we're going to begin. Tonight we're going to start with consecration. 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 There's scriptures that with each one of these, you can read these scriptures for yourself. I'm not going to go take the time to read through all of them. I provided them for you. Tonight, if you can't make it, just set aside a few minutes. And not only that, we have an activity, because tonight in this sanctuary, after we gather with a little bit of worship and a little teaching, we're going to take some time and we're going to dedicate our life. We're going to dedicate our home. We're going to dedicate this church. We're going to physically in small groups go all around this church, dedicating, setting this place and our lives and our workplace aside for Jesus. We're going to ask Jesus to be the head of all of this tonight. We're going to start there. And even if you have time tonight, I encourage you tomorrow when you get to work, do the same thing when you get to work. Set aside, dedicate, consecrate your workspace to the Lord. I wonder what would happen if we do that. On Monday night, we're going to assemble again. And Monday night is going to be simply a night of confession and repentance. You see the scriptures there? And what we're going to do that night, we're going to ask the Lord to examine our heart, detect any unconfessed sins, and we're going to write them down, the small ones and the large ones. Because you know what? You know what? This is all preparing us, preparing for what lies ahead. This is what we're doing, preparing ourselves for what lies ahead. And I really believe, because it's personal to me, that if I have unconfessed sins in my life, that blocks God's being able to speak to me and direct me. And so on Monday night, we're going to spend some time doing that. And we're going to end the service that night receiving the forgiveness that Jesus Christ has already given to all of us. And sometimes we have a problem receiving because we don't think we deserve it. And then on Tuesday night when we assemble together, we got a phrase for Tuesday night. It's simply, Lord, show us the way. There's scripture that corresponds to that we're going to focus in on, that we're going to read, that we're going to set with. And our activity for that night, we're going to be asking the Lord for guidance on the type of fast that we need to enter into. Fasting doesn't start until next Monday. We're preparing ourselves for this. We're preparing ourselves for this. Ask for guidance on the type of fast. Ask for the guidance on what to pray for and what to fast for. And then we're going to wind it up, our prayer week 2019, on Wednesday night. Because we're going to have a night of praise and worship. You see, the scripture here is all from the Psalms. And we're going to give thanks to the Lord. And we're going to simply, after we have some time of worship and have some time to meditate on the scripture, we're going to sit in our small groups, in our individually or with people, and we're just going to list out how God has blessed us. Because you know what I found? It's when I really pay attention to what he has already done, it opens the door for me to receive more of what he wants to do. So this is our prayer week. And we follow the prayer week next week with 21 days of fasting and praying. That is going to be something that we do in private. We're not going to make a big show of it. We're not going to put it out on the website other than just we're doing it, because that's something we do in private for a public gain. But I want to go a little further about this travailing prayer and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Because the ministry of the Holy Spirit is something that God says we need to press into that. Just this morning, I had a young lady come to me with the word of knowledge for us. This is it. She said, "I just felt the Lord told me to tell you, Pastor, and you sit with this, and whether you want to share it with the congregation or not, get rid of your distractions when it comes to worship. Don't come in as if this is something that you just got to do. Focus in on him and worship him and watch what will happen." I believe God wants more of those type of Holy Spirit encounters in our congregation. Now remember, stay calm. Stay calm. You remember that? How to navigate? Stay calm. I know some of this might be pushing the edges on some of us, you know. And then on February the 5th, we're going to end the fast ends on February the 3rd. It's going to go from January the 14th to February 3rd. On February the 5th, we're going to gather together for a night called Awakening. Awakening. I want to pause here for a second. You see, God is working amongst us, but God is working all over the world through his local church to awaken his people. You remember our mission statement? To awaken. To awaken somebody, we can do some things, but it's the Holy Spirit that really does the job of awakening us from our slumber and from our sleep. And so this has been a movement not only in our church, but in churches all over this country. You know, last year we went to what is called a New Room Conference up in Tennessee and Nashville. There were 2,000 people who have felt this same thing in their local context, that God is moving upon the hearts of his people, saying that I want to awaken you. I want to awaken you to what is going on and how you need to get serious about travailing prayer and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you, God is building a movement of people who are contending with God for the spiritual awakening in America today, because it's needed. Does anybody know that a spiritual awakening is needed in our country today? And it starts right here with you and me. We are desperate. We are in desperate need for a new move of God in our lives, in our families, in our churches, in our cities. And this night on February the 5th, people from New Room have given of themselves. They're starting a tour on the 27th of January. They're connecting with local churches. And on the 27th of January, they'll be in Huntsville, Alabama, the 28th in Auburn, and the 29th in Birmingham, on the 30th in Dahlonega, on the 31st in Beaufort. On February the 5th, they're going to land here at Christ Community Church. They'll leave here and they go to Milledgeville, and they'll leave there and go to Atlanta. And every time that they assemble with a local church, the whole purpose is simply to build a movement of people who are contending with God for spiritual awakening in America today. Write that date down, circle it, put it on your calendar. It's a Tuesday night, 6:30 to 8. We want to call all of us here so that we can be together in this call, in this need, and this desire for God to awaken his people. That's going to help us. We've had nights of worship here, and I'll be real frank, we haven't done a very good job of it. This is going to be just a kickstart to that, to where when we have our quarterly nights of worship, because it's going to be for the same purpose. And it's going to give us an opportunity to come together on a quarterly basis at least, and just come before the Lord. So that's all about travailing prayer and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Second thing that the Lord has put on my heart, on our heart. I say our heart. He wants us to pay attention to formulating bands of discipleship. Bands of discipleship. What's our mission statement? To awaken ordinary people to extraordinary life in Christ-centered community. Come on, but y'all gonna know that before we leave here. Let's try it one more time. To awaken ordinary people to extraordinary life in Christ-centered community. Ordinary people to extraordinary life. Ordinary people to extraordinary life. Ordinary people like you, Josh, like you, Connie, to extraordinary life. Now, don't get me wrong. By extraordinary, we don't mean a life without problems or difficulties. We're talking about a life grounded in Christ and authentic relationships with other believers. That's where that Christ-centered community comes in at. And you know what happens when that happens? When we do that, when we give ourselves that, to that, it lifts us up beyond the circumstances of everyday life. Bands of discipleship. In order for someone to be transformed from an ordinary person to experience an extraordinary life, discipleship must take place. And yes, we gather here weekly, and we do, and there's some of it taking place here, but you know what? Discipleship takes place better in a smaller context than the one we have here on Sunday morning. And what God has impressed upon us is that we need to make it more easier and more available for all of us to find that place of connection. Yes, we have community groups. Yes, we have life school. Yes, we have Sunday morning gatherings. But you know, I don't think that we've done a very good job. Billy was telling me before the service began today, that yesterday during our leadership community, a young person came to him and said, you know, I'm glad I came today. I learned so much. Because, now get this, this may shock you. They came from another context, another type of culture, and they said, I never really understood what y'all meant by community groups. I know some of y'all say, what? But you know what? Why should we suppose that they understand it like we understand it? That's somebody else. So what we have to do is do a better job of framing these and do a better job. And so here's a challenge for you. If you don't have a smaller group of connection than this on Sunday mornings, I want to challenge you in 2019, find one. Find one. I want to give you an example. Men's ministry has been working on this for months now. How many people in men's ministry, stand up on your feet. Let's see you. Let's see. Let's look at this. Men's ministry, stand up on your feet. Look at that. Y'all didn't know this, did you? Look at this all over the room. Thank you very much, gentlemen. Thank you very much. And they didn't. This wasn't something that they thought of themselves. You know, like me. They saw it somewhere else, and they just kind of took it and adapted it to their own purposes. But they have what they call fight clubs. Small groups, three or four men, that meet on a regular basis. I'm in one. We meet on Friday mornings at 6:30. I'm going to tell you something. When we meet, we get to know, you know, we kind of catch up with one another on the week, but before we leave there, we get down to business. These are four questions that we put before us each week. We don't get to all of them every week. But look at those questions. Have you intentionally pursued your relationship with God since we last met? You see, I'm talking about bands of discipleship. I'm talking about if we're going to be serious about ordinary people, awakening ordinary people to extraordinary life in Christ-centered community, we have to build the context in which that could happen. You follow what I'm saying? And my challenge to us is, if we don't have this, we need to look for it. And not only do we need to look for it, but we need to be a part of making it happen. This does not all fall on Billy Gross and Anya Staten and Pam Bone and Dwayne Cresswell and Nick Cash and Derek Shields. No, you remember what the scripture we started out with? God has given us all those people to equip. He's equipped the saints to do the work of the ministry. So some of us out here that has the ability to facilitate a small group needs to make ourselves known, and so that we can have more groups and have more points of connection. But I'm back to these questions. Have you made it a priority to love and lead your family well since we last met? And I can tell you, last week, the reason we didn't get all those questions done
is because they had me up against the wall over that question right there. That question right there. Because I hadn't done a very good job of it the week prior. But you know what happened? As I began to share with my brothers and be authentic with my brothers, God began to heal me from the pain and the guilt and the shame that I had and strengthen me to where I could be more loving and leading my family better in this week than I did last week. Y'all get the picture? Okay. I don't want to dwell on that very long. Bands of discipleship. Bands of discipleship. They don't all look the same. They don't all operate at the same time. But what I'm saying to us is if we don't have it in our lives, then how in the world can we expect that we're going to be awakened, an ordinary person, to extraordinary life in Christ-centered community? The third thing that God impressed upon me, upon us, that he wants us to focus on in this coming year, something that will cause us to have conviction and passion to be able to make our way through the uncharted territory in which we are headed in this year: robust expansion of the kingdom. Robust expansion of the kingdom. Robust expansion of the kingdom. What do we mean by that? I'm looking at Dan Owen, Joni Colombo sitting here right to my front. This is how this works. I started here at this church 12 years ago, Celebrate Recovery Ministry. God moved me on to something else. Dan Owen and Joni came over and took over for a period of time. Now Patrick and Rhonda leads the ministry. But you know what Dan Owen and Joni does now? They lead the Celebrate Recovery at Winbrook Baptist Church. I heard yesterday that there's a new one opened up in Catala, Georgia. I'm just giving an example. We're talking about the robust expansion of his kingdom. It's not the robust expansion of our kingdom. It says the gospel up there. Oh, that's cool. That's cool. I did the slide, so I can't blame nobody but myself. Robust expansion of the gospel. That'll work. Because that's what's happening at Winbrook. That's what's going to be happening in Catala starting tonight. That's what happens. That's what's going to happen in a way on the, I think it's on the 10th of January when Carver High School football team gathers in this sanctuary to do their year-end sports banquet, and men go around and serve them and serve their families. That's what's going to happen. That's what happens at Highland Community Church when we go out and do missions meals. That's what happens. And what I know that God is impressing upon us as a church in order for us to navigate our way through 2019 is we must become focused. We must have a passion to expand the gospel of Jesus Christ, not just in this place, but outside of this place in a dark world that needs Jesus desperately. As I shared this yesterday, God impressed upon my mind that just talk about how we live in a city where there's so much violence. On January the 1st, somebody was killed, shot, and murdered. And I know, yeah, it's down there on the south side, and it's them folks, them thugs down there. But you know what? You call them thugs, but those people need Jesus just like you need Jesus. And we need to be about advancing the gospel of Jesus Christ even there. I don't know how that looks. I don't know what shape that takes place in. All I know is that that is what we are about. We're about awakening ordinary people to extraordinary life in Christ-centered community. And the last time I checked, ordinary people didn't have a certain skin color, didn't have a certain sociological background, didn't have a certain education. It's ordinary people. And ordinary people, when they get encountered with the gospel, they begin to experience extraordinary life. Don't you want to be a part of that? Do you want to be a part of something like that? I don't think you understand what I'm asking you. Do you want to be a part of something like that? That gets you up in the morning. That put fuel in you. That put some speed on your steps. That make me ride this scooter faster than I ever rode it before. Calm down, dear. Calm down. Robust expansion of his kingdom. The good news about all I'm talking about this morning, these are not new things. This is not something just brand new that some of us sat around a table and just thought of. This is where God is moving amongst us already. And all he's inviting us to is to join him where he is already moving. I can give you evidence of that. Right here in our very church, there are 12 individuals that at the beginning of this year shared with Kelly Womack, our pastor of leadership development, that they feel a calling to vocational ministry. And we're not talking about just high schoolers. We're talking about everyone from the ages of 18 to 60 years old. Different people, different backgrounds, different colors, different ethnicities, saying, I feel God is calling me into vocational ministry. And we're beginning the process of helping them discern what that looks like and where they might plug in at. And guess what? We don't have a lot of room on staff here for them. We don't have any, as a matter of fact. That means that they're going to get raised up and sent out somewhere. Not only that. But God has raised up someone amongst us that has felt the calling, and it has been confirmed that they are going to plant a church out of Christ Community Church once again. We did it a couple of years ago, and Phoenix City is thriving and moving and growing. We did it after that, and there's a church in New Mexico, of all places, that's growing and thriving. And God is ready to do it again. He's ready to do it again. There's going to be a residency, a resident church planter in our midst starting in February. I'm not going to give you all the details about that right now. It's not the purpose of this here. But I'm just telling you evidence of what God is already doing amongst us. That individual and his wife, they know they have the church name already. Hope Springs Community Church. Write it down. Hope Springs Community Church. Start praying for it right now. Hope Springs Community Church. For a year, they're going to do a residency so we can make sure that we assess them and equip them. And when the time is right in 2020, we're going to send them out. And you know what? We're not going to send them out by themselves. We're going to send them out with some people right here in these seats. We're going to send them out some resources that we have stored up. We're going to send them out so they can be successful in advancing, expanding the gospel to a place outside this church. That's the kind of thing that's happening amongst us. We don't even mention the fact that we know God wants us to be a place where solo pastors to come and get training so that they can lead their congregations better. We know it's coming, but it's not here yet. But we know that peace is coming. You see what God is doing? Nod your head yes. Do you see what is happening? Becoming a people who. I'm going to wrap up this message today. And I hope, I pray. I've been praying ever since God began to stir in my heart this message, that this message makes sense to you. I told you to pick up the communications card. And this is where some of you might want to use it. Because if you've been attending here, and you've been looking and kicking the tires, January 20th is our next Getting Started class. And I want to invite you to go ahead and commit to come and start the process of getting into covenant relationship with this church. There's some of you need to be writing right now. Not because I said it, because God is leading you to do it. You don't have a church home. You are not connected with a local church. It's 2019. What are you waiting for? Now, I want to be real clear. If this is not the place, hey, we want to help you find the place. And if you're listening and you're not even nowhere remotely around Christ Community Church, Columbus, Georgia, find one where you are. Because God works through the local church. That is the vehicle that he chose for the redemption of the world, the local church. We believe in it with all of our hearts. Becoming a people who are known as an Antioch church. I close this with just reading some scripture to you. Last year, we had Andrew Chalmers here on one Sunday morning, and he was delivering a message, and in a brief comment, he didn't dwell on it. He just said he sensed that the Lord was speaking, had a word for us, and that word was an Antioch church. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Acts chapter 11. Let me read to you what that is and what that means. Acts chapter 11, and we're closing. Worship team can come out. Those who are preparing communion can go ahead and start. If it doesn't bother you too much, if you want us to sit, but I just want us to keep moving here. Look with me at Acts chapter 11, starting at verse 19. This is who God is calling Christ's community to become, a people who are known as an Antioch church. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word only among Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Antioch became a place where people came and were equipped, and they were sent out to advance the gospel. That is who we are becoming. There's a lot of pieces left to put in place, but I worry not about those pieces, because I have a clear vision of what God has called us to be. He's called us to be a church to awaken ordinary people to extraordinary life in Christ-centered community. I pray that you have gotten a glimpse, a sense of all the things that God is already up to in and around us. And not only that, but you probably thought we had forgot and we had just said we're not going to do it. But that building we've talked about some months ago, that building is a key piece in all of this. Because in order to train the summer interns that's going to come here, we got summer interns. This is already happening. This summer, we're going to have 18 to 20, I forgot the age frame, but a gap year, 8 weeks during the summer. They're going to come here and they're going to get on-hands experience about what ministry is, and maybe find their role in ministry. Not only to be in the church, but maybe to be out in the workplace, because we need people of God in the workplace just like we need them right here on Sunday morning. I mean, how are we going to advance the gospel if we just stay up in here looking at each other? It's good, don't get me wrong. But we're going to need space to do that. We're already maxed out in space when it comes to things like this. Oh, we got room in here, but we ain't going to get too close to each other. Stay focused, Derek, stay focused. So that building, oh yes, God has had, God, I believe God says, that is something that I want you to do. Oh, you said, oh man, look how we struggled to meet finance, meet the ministry funding last year. By the way, that 200,000 deficit that we saw at the end of November, December was the third largest giving month in the history of this church. And the final figures are not in, but I can tell you this. It's not going to be a deficit of 200,000 when all is said and done. And I believe that we even going to break even, and we might even have a surplus when it's all said and done. That's God. That's God. That's not me. That's God at work. Can't you feel the Spirit of the Lord at work in this place? So if we can do that, what is a building over here to the side? What is that? Nothing is impossible with God. All we need to do is stay focused on what it is that he has called us to do. Awaken ordinary people to extraordinary life in Christ-centered community and be obedient to that call. And he will cause all the things that we need to happen for us and for his glory. So what is your part? What are you going to do? That's my one and only question to you. What is God calling you to do? How are you connected to this local church? Bow your heads, please. Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you, Father. We glorify your name. We thank you that you would think enough of us to draw us to yourself, to be used by you, for you, to your glory, and for the benefit of those that are in darkness, that don't know what it's like to live the extraordinary life in Christ-centered community. Give us strength, Lord. In Jesus' name. We end our service today coming to the table, because I've said a lot. I didn't fool around here and got fired up, sweating a little bit. But I'm reminded that all of what I've said and all of what I did not say is all possible because of the one who died for our sins. We stand in remembrance of that night when he took the bread and he broke it. He returned thanks and he gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which has been given for you." And when the meal was over, he took the cup, returned thanks over it, and he offered it to all of them. To all of them. You know who all of them is? All of them. Saying, "Take, drink. It's the blood of the new covenant poured out for the remission of sins." Altars are open. Communion is available. Come. Whosoever will. Song.
Don't leave if you need to pray or you need someone to pray with you. We will remain here as long as needed. I know, and I don't feel bad or apologize in any way that I gave you a whole lot there in a few minutes. And it might seem overwhelming, but you know what? It's not impossible with God. As a matter of fact, I would say to us, if we're feeling overwhelmed, this might be a word for somebody. If you're feeling overwhelmed by some of the things that I put out there, I'm going to say to us that might be a sign that we're trying to do it all by ourselves. Because there are enough people in the body of Christ that none of us should feel overwhelmed. But if that doesn't comfort you, let me share one last scripture with you as a way of benediction. If we would all stand, please. Still from in the book of Ephesians. A scripture that we are very familiar with, that Paul proclaims to this church in Ephesus. Verse 20 and 21 of chapter 3. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. I repeat that. According to his power that is at work in us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Let's all say together, amen. God bless you. May God keep you.